Welcome to the Ladies of Metal Show, featuring interviews with metal bands, where we keep you up to date with everything surrounding the metal, underground, and alternative community.
I was lucky enough to grow up with my dad. When his video game came out, I would have been 6 years old or something, and that soundtrack was like, you had like Motorhead and all that stuff, and that was like some of the first music I heard, I guess.
This is the Ladies of Metal Show.
It's Carly Gwynn, back with a very fun episode of the Ladies of Metal Show. Riley Hawk is on the show today. He sings and plays guitar in the grittiest, punkiest band I've heard in a long time called Warish. They're a three-piece band from California. Riley, of course, grew up skating as Tony Hawk's son. So we'll get into how he made the transition from skating to music. I was pretty surprised by the kinds of bands he likes and the bands he grew up listening to, but talking about that was probably my favorite part of the chat. Warish has a brand new full-length record coming out April 30th on Riding Easy Records, and we tried to decipher like what genre this band even falls into, whether it's grunge, punk, or horror rock. That was a new one for me, but maybe the fact that they don't fit in any one genre is what makes them special. Make sure you're following the show on Instagram at the Ladies of Metal Show. I'm at Hair Metal X. And here's Riley Hawk. It's the Ladies of Metal Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, it's going good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the Ladies of Metal Show podcast. This is so cool, and I'm so excited to have you on the show.
Cool. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So first, I was texting with my sister earlier today, and I was like, oh, I'm talking to Riley Hawk later on the podcast, and I sent her your Instagram, and she was like, oh, is that the guy from Sons of Anarchy?
A couple people have said that to me before. That's funny.
Yeah. So I guess you look like Charlie Hunnam, which, like, I guess good for you. That's, like, not so bad.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's worse people you could look like.
Yeah, for sure. So I've been kind of following the band for a while now, and I love the new single that you guys put out, Say to Please. That's already on like a 2021 playlist I have on Spotify, so thanks for that.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course. And I guess first, like, how would you describe the sound of this band? Because I know, like, for me, it's like kind of early 90s grunge punk vibes, but then like extreme, like if Nirvana was like super extreme, and then I don't know, it's like good music to break stuff too.
Yeah, totally. I think you kind of nailed it on the head with that one. Kind of, you know, people lump it into all kinds of categories. Some people say like horror rock or whatever that is, but yeah, I guess like kind of punk rock, hard rock, grunge, I guess you could say too. I don't know. I think it's just a blend of all kinds of weird shit, but just primarily loud, distorted guitars and fast-paced songs, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. I think maybe it could be like a new, like, I don't know, like a modern grunge. It's not like it sounds like it's old music or something, but it's kind of like a new take on grunge and like gothy kind of, like you have like gothy kind of vocals sometimes. So yeah, I think it's like, it's just a really cool sound, and I can't really think of anybody that sounds like you guys. So whatever you're doing is really unique and really cool.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's kind of for
yeah,
not sure what the sound is, but we definitely try to just write stuff where it's due, and I guess that's kind of how it comes out.
Yeah, well, I think it's working. I think it's working so far. Now, I'm going to just assume that you've been skating before you can walk, so that was like an early kind of thing that you were just maybe good at.
Yeah, it's been definitely, like, very prevalent in my life since I was a kid, so it's kind of inevitable that it was, like, a second nature to me, but at the same time, it's a very humbling sport. Even though you've been doing it your whole life, you can still, you know, fall, gone off the curb or whatever it is there anytime you hop on a skateboard, so it's kind of an interesting sport. It's definitely, like, it's always, always a challenge, no matter how long you've been doing it.
Does it kind of humble you in a way?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I always get hurt doing the dumbest shit I've ever done, like on a skateboard where I'm like, whatever it is, I don't know, doing something like that I'm just mindlessly not thinking about that I would even expect to get hurt on, and then next thing you know, I'm in a cast on my leg or whatever. So it's definitely, you got to be high alert at all times. Don't take it for granted.
That makes sense. Yeah, don't take, like, your health for granted, or, like, your bones, maybe.
don't think that you can't get hurt at any moment, because it's very, very easily possible.
So how did you transition into playing music, and, like, when did that happen in your life?
I've always been, like, pretty heavily influenced by music, even as a kid. Like, I was lucky enough to grow up with my dad who, you know, when his video game came out, I would have been, like, 6 years old or something, seven. And that soundtrack was, like, you had, like, Motorhead and all that stuff. And that was, like, some of the first music I heard, I guess, kind of, you know. And so that was, like, what kind of shaped my interest in music. And then I didn't really pick up a guitar until maybe I was, like, really pick it up till about 15 or so, when I think I actually got hurt skating, and I couldn't really do anything, and I just needed someone to pass the time before, you know, Instagram or phones or internet and stuff like that, like the all the social media. So had to, like, figure something out to do, and then picked up a guitar and just started playing. And I never took any lessons. I kind of just would watch YouTube videos and try to learn songs, and I think that has a big part in what, like, shapes your kind of music writing, I guess, because I would just try to learn, you know, like, Black Sabbath songs or whatever it was, Motorhead songs, stuff like that. So, kind of where it started.
That's so cool. You're basically self-taught then.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's definitely, I guess, a curse and a blessing, because you can't throw me in, like, a lineup of a band and just be like, all right, we're going to play in this key for this measure. I'm like, I don't know anything about all that stuff, but I think I'm too far gone at this point to try and figure it out, and whatever I've been doing, like, I like the way it works for me, so it's all, you know, it's all, like, relative to the person, I guess.
Sure. So does that mean, like, you can't read music or anything?
No, definitely not.
That's always so funny to me. I was just listening to an interview with Dave Grohl, and he said he can't read music either, and I'm like, how can I, like, I can read music because I was in, like, you know, like, high school band, but I'm like, that's so funny to me that you, like, you guys are so good and, like, better than, like, I ever would be as, like, a musician. So, like, how do you write songs if you don't know how to read music?
I don't know. I mean, I think maybe that's why I just write my own songs, because I don't really understand how to, like, read a tab amazing or read music in a way that I can, like, just pick up other people's songs. So I think maybe that's part of the reason I just start writing my own. Like, I'm just like, oh, I don't know, this sounds like, I know it sounds cool to me, and, you know, like, it's almost different where I know what notes make what sounds, but I don't necessarily know the names of the notes.
Mm-hmm.
That makes any sense.
Yeah, so, like, on guitar you would know the kind of, like, the formations of chords, but you don't necessarily know that it's a D or a G chord or something.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Oh, that's so interesting.
More, like, by ear and just by repetition of doing it over and over.
Right, so lots of practice, probably. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess as far as bands you grew up on, it was more so kind of like what we would consider, like, classic rock at this point. Like, older type
totally.
Bands?
Like,
uh-huh. That's so cool.
Yeah, like, bands like, yeah, Motorhead, and, I mean, the first concert I went to was The Cure. My dad took me to that, and I've always definitely still had a huge soft spot for The Cure, because I just loved that band growing up. And then, yeah, I mean, classic rock, I guess, you know, when you're a teenager, you start, whatever, smoking weed and being a skater and surfer, you're going to naturally start listening to, like, whatever it is, Jimi Hendrix, Pink Floyd, like, all that shit. And then, I think that just opened the doors, and I guess I was lucky enough to be, like, the first generation of teenagers that was into that kind of music. And then around then is when YouTube was starting to get real popular, with, like, people uploading kind of more obscure 70s albums, like, kind of, like, psych or hard rock shit, and lucky enough to kind of, like, figure that out at that age. And so that was just like a rabbit hole that I would go down forever and ever, and, you know, download endless amounts of albums onto my iPod and stuff like that.
Oh my god, I just stopped using my iPod last year.
Yeah, it's so funny. I just found mine, actually, because I've been cleaning out my house, and I found it, so I held on to it, because I was like, you know what, probably just hold on to this thing. It's going to be worth something to me one day, like, sentimentally, I guess.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's like a time capsule.
Totally.
That's so funny. You guys put your first track out in 2018, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, yep. Cool. Yeah, that probably feels like so long ago, but it's like 3 years, coming up on 3 years. That's nuts.
It doesn't feel like it should be that long ago on paper, but when you see the number, you're like, what the hell?
I know, yeah, that's crazy. So you had an EP come out, you had like a couple singles, and the first full-length Down in Flames dropped in 2019. So you got like, I feel like a lot done in a short amount of time. And then now we have this brand new song, which is already like, I just looked it up on Spotify. It's like doing so well. So I guess, can you tell us about that song? I know the video came out like pretty recently, like end of January. So can you tell us about that a little bit?
Yeah, the video is just an idea I had for a while. And then just kind of tried to just implement it, I guess. And my buddy filmed, and I've always grown up being pretty active as far as like editing and stuff like that, just making skate videos. So my buddy shot it, and then he just gave me all the raw footage, and I cut it up and edited it just because I knew how I wanted it to look. So that kind of was like easier than just trying to explain it to someone else. But I feel like I got it to a point where I was pretty happy with the way it turned out, like as far as the vision of it. And then yeah, that was kind of like a cool experiment to try and shoot like a real music video. I've never done that, and it's definitely hard to come up with concepts and ideas and things that make sense as far as like the music to the visual, because I mean that's kind of like a representation of what the band is, you know. So it was really fun to make that video and kind of like open that door as far as seeing the possibilities of what we could do as a band is like with a visual aspect to it.
Well, yeah, I think like what you said, it kind of seems like it might be challenging at first to come up with something that like represents the song in a visual form. But I thought it was really cool that it kind of has like a throwback type of vibe to it, like almost like a VHS, like you're watching like an old VHS.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Like I did a lot of stuff like that, like a few years back, just kind of experimenting where I would take like a print a DVD of whatever the file was and then run it back through like a VHS player, so it actually like landed onto a VHS tape, and then it's like such a dumb process. The guy I took the guy that I told about that I wanted to do it, he like converted VHSs to DVDs for like Christmas gifts or whatever it is, you know, like home videos.
Right.
And then I kind of explained it to him, and he's just like, why would you want to do that? And I was like, I don't know, I'm going to pay you to do it, so can you just do it? And then he wasn't really wanting to do it, so I kind of just figured out how to do it on my own just by researching online, and I had this whole crazy, stupid rig in my room, and then just learned how to do that. And then once I had it on the VHS, then I could take it to him, and he could just put it off the VHS to the DVD, and then I would put it back on the computer, and it was a pretty strenuous process, but, I mean, to get that actual look was pretty cool, and so that was kind of the whole idea.
That's super cool that you actually went through all those steps instead of using, like, I don't know, some kind of film effect or something. So I feel like that's really unique that you went through that.
It was like a happy medium. I used some effects through the Premiere Pro program after the fact because it was still, like, having some issues with certain timing stuff. And so it's kind of like a blend of both. But, it gives it a cool feel for sure.
Yeah, I think it worked too, because you guys have like I said, kind of like a throwbacky grunge kind of sound. So it seems like, you know, if I'm listening to you guys, I'm like, oh man, this really reminds me of like 1994. And if a music video came out, it would like maybe be on a VHS that like you taped off the TV. Like I totally used to do stuff like that. So I feel like it totally worked.
Yeah, totally.
And then
I guess I didn't really have like end goal vision of it. I just knew I wanted to make the video, and then once it was done, I was like, well, here's the video, I guess. I don't know. It wasn't like some, grand scheme. I just kind of did it, and then it existed.
Well, I think it looks really cool, and I was watching it on YouTube, and I was like scrolling through, and there was like a bunch of people writing comments and stuff, and there was two on there that like made me laugh, and one dude wrote up on there like, music to start a riot to, or audio cocaine. What? I didn't know what audio cocaine meant, but I felt like it fit. And then someone else wrote, after listening to this, I feel ready to rob a bank. So I feel like you guys are doing it right, inspiring the people. And
yeah, for better or for worse, I guess.
Yes. And we'll be able to listen to Say to Please on the new record, right?
Yeah, totally.
Cool. Yeah, so Next to Pay is coming out kind of soon-ish, April 30th. It's not too far off.
Yeah, it's been a major just toss-up of discussion back and forth because you're just like, what do you do with a record this day and age when you can't go out and play it live for people? And
right.
You got to like really strategize kind of the right way to release it so it doesn't just get caught up in the internet whirlpool and then get shot out a day later and no one sees it, so... That's kind of the struggle that's been between the label and just trying to figure out what to do with it, because I'm generally pretty bad at trying to come up with, like, rollout plans like that, because I just don't, I don't know, I'm like, I did the song, that's like my part, and then so Daniel's our label owner, he's pretty on top of that stuff, so he's been kind of like coming up with a master plan, I guess you could say.
Did you guys decide on April 30th initially, or have you, like, delayed the release at all?
Yeah, I think it was supposed to come out in January because we had some tours lined up for, like, right now.
Oh, my God.
And then, so, yeah, that was kind of, like, a given that it was going to get pushed back because we were like, well, there's no need to rush it. Because we were kind of rushing for that day, I think, and... To be honest, the video might not have even got made if that were the case, so it was probably for the better, I guess.
Well, yeah, now we have this cool video to watch in the meantime.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, totally.
So when touring does come back, I know it's kind of like a weird topic because no one knows what's going on, but who would you most want to tour with? Like, if you get the call that it's safe to play shows again and you're like, oh, man, we got booked on tour with this band, like, what band would you want it to be?
Oh man, it's hard to decide because I mean, I have so many bands that I like that I'm a big fan of, but I feel like it wouldn't work necessarily for our stuff.
Sure, yeah. You know?
I mean, we played a show with Fu Manchu, and that would be kind of cool. I think that would work together pretty well. Yeah, I don't know. That would be a cool one. I mean, I'm a fan of those guys, and I think they kind of have kept that genre and vibe going strong through their whole career, so I think it would work pretty well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. What about, like, I don't know, do you know any, like, pop punk bands?
I don't know, maybe, like, Fuzz. Actually, that's a band I really wanted to tour with because I saw they were touring, and or at least play a show. I'm a big fan of Fuzz and all types of all stuff, so that would be a rad one, I think.
Nice. I know you're in California, right?
Yes.
Do you know the story so far?
Oh, yes, I actually have heard of them, yeah.
I feel like, I mean, your band sounds are not anything like. I think you guys are way heavier, but I feel like that would be a cool thing for, like, their fans. Like, I'm a big fan of that band, and if you guys were on that tour, I'd be like, whoa, like, if I never heard you guys before, I'd be like, yo, I gotta check this out. Like, I feel like that would fit. That'd be cool.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I love kind of mixing it up. I don't want to, you know, necessarily play with a band that sounds exactly like us, because those shows get kind of redundant after a while.
I feel that way a lot of times at, like, hardcore shows. Like, all the bands sound the same, and it's just, like, a lot. It's a lot for, like, one night sometimes.
Yeah, totally. It's a bit much. It's nice to have some diversity on the stage, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And then other than music and the record coming out pretty soon, are you working on any other projects right now?
Not really. I mean, been working on just, like, life projects.
Okay.
But, yeah, just, like, I've been in the middle of fixing some stuff at my house, and me and some friends own a coffee shop, and that's been quite a whirlpool during all this pandemic stuff, so that's kind of been taking up a lot of time and energy, and then just skating, too, and try to be able to, like, spread myself out enough to where I'm not doing it too thin and start to get overwhelmed, so I kind of just take on things one at a time as I can.
I feel like that's my biggest flaw, is I'm always doing way too many things, and I feel like I get spread too thin sometimes. But I like to be busy, so. Yeah. Cool. I'm going to keep an eye out for more singles, maybe, ahead of the record release in April. Like, we still got some time, so hopefully.
Yeah, I believe we have one that's coming out soon. I don't know the exact date, so I can't say it, because otherwise I'd just be completely lying, but.
Okay.
It should be soon, before the release. I know that 100% for sure. So I'm guessing sometime in March, I would assume.
Yeah. Okay, cool. That's exciting. And hopefully tours later this year, you know, start getting booked once more people get that vaccine.
I know. We're booked on that Psycho Vegas, but, I mean, who knows? It seems a little ambitious as far as the festival goes for August, but you never know.
I mean, I did see just like this past week that Aftershock Festival, that I think it's in California, that got moved to October. So I think they're being optimistic with that too.
Yeah.
But at least if it's like outdoor festivals, maybe that'll happen a little easier than like small club shows. So I guess, I don't know. It's so just no one knows anything and it's hard to plan, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's like until I'm like on a stage and there's people in the crowd, I don't really believe anything's happening.
I know. I think honestly, that's like the most like realistic way to go about it. Like not getting your hopes up and stuff. So
my dad was, when this all first started, he was like, had a lot of stuff planned. He was like saying how he was so shocked that they were canceling everything. And then it's funny because our brains flip so quick. And he was saying how a couple months later, he was more shocked that people were trying to rebook it for like the end of the year. He's like, more shocked they thought it was going to happen.
Well, I guess the more information that we get, it's like there's no way anything's coming back ever. Yeah. Like,
yeah, it's kind of a bummer how much our brains have already like accepted that.
Yeah, I mean, it can come across a little pessimistic sometimes, but I feel like that's just how it is. Like, that's just realistic at this point. So.
Yeah, totally.
But, I mean, yeah, hopefully you guys get to tour, and I'm in Philadelphia, so hopefully you guys can, like, make it over on the East Coast. Cool. That would be dope.
Yeah, we played there at Johnny Brenda's, I believe, the upstairs one.
Yeah, so I'm not sure, but I feel like they were in danger of closing.
Oh, shit, that's a bummer. That place is really cool.
I know, it's, like, a really cool spot. I mean, it's small. Like, I'm always, every time I've been there, I'm like crunched in, but it's like a good time. So we'll see. Yeah, I haven't heard in a while because I follow them on Instagram, and I know they were posting a while ago, like, we're not sure what's going on with our rent. And like, but I mean, that's everywhere. Like, small clubs are kind of in danger, and it's so sad.
Yeah, it sucks.
But yeah, hopefully everything goes well with the release. I'm super excited for you guys. And yeah, it was so great to talk to you. And thanks again for coming on the show.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me. Yeah, hopefully you'll see some stuff sooner than later, I guess.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to more singles and more music for sure.
Cool.
All right, Riley. Thank you again.
Yeah, no worries.
You just heard another episode of the Ladies of Metal Show. Subscribe to our channel so you never miss an episode. Need more metal in your life? Listen to Ladies of Metal Radio on the TuneIn Radio app. This is the Ladies of Metal Show.